All right, it is Monday after this crazy early summer week we've had. A little more normal tomorrow and Wednesday, a normal week. I don't know. I know some of you love the summer. Our next guest is one of those people. Lots to talk about with our friend Kate Raddatz here on the Rad Report.
She's an Emmy award-winning reporter.
Yeah, I love it.
She's a senior public relations pro. She can belt out the national anthem better than most.
It's a process. Like, you gotta find someone to do it with because it's not fun by yourself. So I don't know.
But maybe the most important role she plays coming at the stories of the day from the perspective of a millennial mom. Let's all learn a thing or two from the mind and filter of Kate Raddatz.
Yeah, there you go. There's what's happening.
This is the Rad Report.
Kate is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hi, Kate. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
This is your element, right? Like hot summer.
I'm thriving without the wildfire smoke, but yes, I'm thriving.
How bad? So Dan and I were talking about this before. We didn't think the smoke was really that bad.
It's not that bad. I guess it just feels like, sadly, this is now an every June thing.
Wow.
And
yes.
I know it because yes. Our kids are born in May. And I remember 2 years ago, it was really bad. We could not go outside. So, yeah. But this time it said we had an air quality alert. I think we're still under one. But
we
yeah,
are. What did Laura say? It's like a purple. They have colors for this stuff.
Oh,
now?
That sounds bad. Purple sounds really bad.
I don't know. I don't want to be an idiot, but there are certain things that I've decided at my age. I'm just not going to put any energy into figuring it out.
I love a scale. A scale is good for
no,
the weather.
No, so. How many alerts do we need? There are enough alerts, and I don't need different colors of air alert. Who does the air alert help?
Well, it's confusing when Alexa doesn't tell you if it's a package arriving at your door or if it's a weather alert. So, you know, you just got to check and find out. So.
I just don't understand. Like, now, granted, I don't have asthma. I don't have, you know, so for people with sensitivities, I'm sure. Well, I don't know. If you have asthma, can't you just walk out the damn door and be like, woof? This seems rough, and then go back inside. Why do we need the alerts?
Well, because you don't want to leave your windows open, or, you know, I think
don't you know?
Be aware. But not necessarily.
Can't you just experience it and make modifications to move forward with your life? Why does everything?
I don't think you always know.
Well, if you don't know, then it can't be that bad, can it?
I don't know.
If it's worthy of alert. I mean, I just think we're obsessed with alerts. We love to give an alert. It sounds so serious. Laura gets to deliver the purple alert or the fuchsia alert or whatever dumb alert we've got. It's too many alerts.
I don't know. I do not.
Your people who got this started. This is so millennial. It's the millennials who want an alert, want a color code, want a graphic. It's your fault, Kate.
We're okay with everything. It's our fault. We're okay with it. We can own that, you know.
You're pro alert.
I like the alert. You know, the more information I have, the better I feel about the world.
Oh, my gosh. So, I don't know that more information has helped anybody out.
Well, true.
Are we in better shape that we have more information?
No, definitely not.
I feel like it's not good. So I thought of you. On Friday night, when I was at Sam's final choir concert.
Oh, man.
Because I've been going to choir for, well, I guess you go back to preschool years, right?
Yep.
So I've spent probably 18 years, at least, sitting at recitals or choir concerts or whatever. And I am getting a little bit sentimental about the lasts. So like we had the last soccer match and like I'll probably never watch my kids play soccer again. Right. It's a little like they're graduating to a part of life where when they do their thing, when they do things that make them happy, it's not a spectator situation for me. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
And that's great. As a parent, you want that. That's what you're working towards. And also, it's really sad It's really sad. It's really emotional.
Sad.
I was crying for sure at the choir concert because I've sat at these choir concerts. And as a parent, you're just so happy that like your kids find something that make them happy. That's like, I don't care if you're good at it. I don't care if you're bad at it. Like the fact that you are finding joy, you are finding your people, and I get to watch it is so cool. But now it's done. Now it's done. And I was wondering if you think back, like, obviously you're on the front edge of this journey with your kids, but, you know, you had those moments. You were a singer. You continued singing into college. But, like, were there moments where you're like, oh, I'll never do this again?
I don't know if it hit me. I don't know if it really hit me. I guess I did continue singing in some ways. So I would say the one that would probably stand out was my last theater production. Probably that would be the most memorable. Cause, and I know you can do, there are certainly people that do community theater. I haven't. But it's different. You're right. It's different when you're in high school. It's different with your peers and your friends. I love what you said about, it's about your child finding something they love. And of course, and especially if they're good at it, great. But I so agree that that is your dream. Like when you see them doing something that they love. And I think sometimes that gets a little lost today. And yeah, I mean, that is the dream. So kind of closing that chapter, that is hard, you know, it's bittersweet.
It's bittersweet. It is, yeah. For me, it's the same. It was the theater. The theater. Yeah, because I did every play in high school. We had four.
I don't know if I knew that. I don't know if I knew that. Yeah.
We had four plays a year, and I got into sort of this pattern where, like, the fall play, I was on the tech crew. So, like, I was the stage manager or the audio guy or whatever. So, fall, I was tech. Then was like a variety show. There was a, I don't know, then we did like a one act play. So, and a musical. We did a musical in the spring.
Okay.
And so I was in every, so, you know, four plays, 4 years, 16 performances of one sort or another. And then that final senior year musical, you're like, oh man, like that's it. Like, I wasn't a theater major. Marquette had theater majors, and I knew I wanted to go into broadcasting. So it's not like I wasn't going to perform again, but it's very, very different, you know?
Right. Yes, it is. And you're especially, I mean, whatever sport or, you know, the arts you're in, it's just, it's your crew, you know, the kids that you're with, and, you know, and so it is different. And he may do, you know, like you said, he'll do other things, but it is different, right? Like saying goodbye to that high school chapter.
You have all the, as we like are on the journey towards the empty nester lifestyle, like all of the lasts, I don't know it. And it does make you, the other thing that happens is I think back now to like my kids when they were your kids' age.
Right.
And my kids could not care less. Zero interest in like looking at the childhood picture of you.
You're like, look at this, so cute.
Like, what? Like, because this formative part of their life is seared in my memory, and not in theirs. Right? Like, it's just so strange.
It's so weird. Yes.
You're like, I see the Facebook memory picture come up and I can remember the exact moment and I'll show it to Sam. And there's this picture that came up of Sam and Seth at Sam's preschool graduation. And I sent it to Sam and he was like,
cool.
Yeah. It was just like, it got like a thumbs up emoji. Yeah. I'm like, I'm having an emotional moment here. Everyone thinks their dad doesn't have enough emotion. I'm having emotional moments and no one cares.
It's hitting you. It's hitting you really in it. I mean, it's happening now. I mean, I'm guessing this is the last week, or it was.
Yeah.
And so now it's
graduation
real.
Graduation is Sunday.
Will you cry at graduation?
Well, Sam is speaking, so yes.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's a big deal.
Yeah. I'll tell him to have his have his bulletproof vest on, apparently. You got to be careful of graduations these days.
Oh, geez.
My goodness. He's at Mariucci, too. We'll break. I want to ask you about the changing of the guard on the network news. A story that's so big that I think almost no one really has noticed it. We'll talk about that when we come back with Kate Raddatz on CCO. So tonight, there is a transition at NBC Nightly News, and there was a time when this sort of thing would be like major, major news. Friday night, Kate Raddatz is with us. Lester Holt signed off as anchor of the Nightly News. And it was, I feel like no one even noticed it. I think I have it, Dan, if you can pop me up here.
Heard about me. You may recall the announcement back some months ago that I would be leaving my post here at Nightly News in order to expand my role as host of Dateline. Well, today is that day. After 10 years, this is my last Nightly News broadcast. As anchor, it has been an honor to lead this program and an honor to be welcome into your homes. I am so grateful for your trust. Around here, facts matter, words matter, journalism matters, and you matter.
So that's Lester Holt signing off. Kate, you as a former TV news reporter, remember when this would have been a much bigger deal? I feel like this is not that big of a deal.
But I also feel like it's just been kind of a round of these, hasn't it, in the last year or so? I don't know. It feels like there's been a lot of changes at the network level, across all the networks.
It's true.
Yeah, I love him. I thought he was great. So to me, I noticed him leaving, but I don't know. It kind of went under the radar, I think, for most people.
NBC Nightly News. You know, these shows still get a lot of audience.
Yeah.
Nightly News gets 6.5 million viewers every night. ABC gets something like 7 million, and CBS is, I don't know, 5 million, something like that. That's a lot of people watching the Nightly News. The new anchor is Tom Yamas. He's 45, so younger. David Muir at ABC. I think he's about my age. He's 51. So it is a younger generation, but it's just very interesting to me how back when it was Rather and Brokaw and Jennings, it was such a big deal. And today, I think it's just you know, everybody watches whatever news they want to watch. You have your Fox News, your MSNBC, if you want your cable type thing. The network news, I don't know, it maybe is just not that big of a deal for people anymore.
I think it definitely, definitely the golden age of television, it getting past that, I think, it has changed. I think it used to be seen as much more higher level celebrity. And now people get their news from all different sources. I still think television is very powerful, and a lot of people do watch TV news. But, yeah, I do think the level of interest in them has changed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, just today in the local media environment, the news came out today that the Star Tribune, the Minnesota Star Tribune, is offering a buyout to basically the way that and Blois Olson put out on Twitter the offer, the memo. And basically the way I'm reading this is they want to get rid of the old people because the young people are better able to sort of play in the digital space that a media company has to play in today. So it's pretty amazing. The memo says the future of our organization and our industry demands that we reimagine our investments and acquire different skill sets than traditional newspapers. With that in mind, and with the utmost respect for the loyal employees that have upheld the traditions of our 158-year-old institution, we're offering a voluntary separation incentive. It's like, thanks for everything. So, I don't know, it seems decent. It's like $10,000 lump sum, a week pay for every 10 years of service, 2 weeks for every year over that. But I don't know. It's a new world.
It is a new world. And it is a time of very rapid change in the media. I mean, definitely 08 was a huge one. And then I feel like now, post-COVID, it's rapidly changing because with everything in technology and, you know, just, you know, when I started in news, I was one of the youngest reporters in the market. That's not necessarily the case anymore. People are able to work their way up much quicker, you know, from smaller markets. And so it's just very different. It's a very, it is changing still very rapidly. So,
yeah, isn't that funny? I was the youngest reporter when I started. And that was, I was 27.
Yeah.
And so that youngest number keeps going down. But, you know, and some of it is like, yes, the, if you get the paper, Star Tribune, they've started printing like a little thing in there that says, hey, you know, I don't know the exact verbiage, but it essentially says like, you know, just so you know, like this printout is the greatest hits of what's already been at StarTribune.com. So, you know, we appreciate you getting this paper, but just know this is not our main gig.
Right. Yep.
You're like, whoa, it's sort of a like, all right, like I thought you wanted me to subscribe.
You wanted me to.
I like, should I apologize for getting the paper? I should just look at it online. I don't know. I mean, certainly that's where it's going, right? There will be
right.
a time where
right.
they don't print a physical paper anymore.
Right.
No, I don't know. It's interesting. We're just all trying to hang on before we
we're
get
all
our...
just hanging on. And
I want a package.
We've got lots of friends in media, you know, it's. Nope. Nobody knows. I want everybody to do well, and we're just waiting to see what happens.
No, what I would like is someone to say, like, I'll give you a $10,000 payment, and I'll pay you for 50 weeks or something and get out of here. That sounds pretty good.
You're like, bye.
Yes. Give me the buyout. I'm ready to go. Very good. Kate, thank you. Have a good week. Sorry the 80s and 90s aren't sticking around all week for you.
Yeah, I'll survive. It's okay. We'll be okay.
But just know we are under an air quality alert until noon.
Yep, and I'm glad you
Wednesday.
Told everyone.
nobody. All the air quality alert lovers are coming for me. It's fair.
I brought it on. These are my people.
Thanks, Kate. We'll be back in just a minute with a conversation about an alarming jolt in high-profile crime. We talk about these big attention-grabbing crime incidents, not because it's indicative of some bigger trend, or but it's because it makes us uneasy. It makes us uneasy. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. The graduation, post-graduation shooting after the Wayzata high school graduation just shouldn't happen, should not happen. What can we do? We'll talk about that when we come back. When the weather heats up, so does crime, and we got to be real careful that this doesn't become a summer of violence in the Twin Cities. Reason to be concerned over the weekend. I am. I'm sure you are, too. Started on Friday night outside of a graduation. 20-year-old gets charged today. He's got this handgun that he, according to prosecutors, modified. So he could kind of just go rapid fire. Shoots two people outside of the University of Minnesota's Mariucci Arena. What the hell? I mean, honestly. You think about the kids from Wayzata High School, all their families, one of the biggest high schools in the state, people coming from all over to celebrate this milestone. Hamza Saeed of Coon Rapids gets charged with first and second degree assault, illegal gun possession. He is locked up. He'll be in court tomorrow. I will say this. As a community, we got to do a better job of telling people what's going on. So when the first reports of this came out, aren't you wondering, like, did this happen in the graduation? Was this people who were at the graduation? Was it? What was it? And all that anyone has said, and the charges still don't have a lot. The charges, according to the Star Tribune report, just said there were a bunch of guys arguing right before the gunfire, which goes to the bigger issue, right? We are in a spot where so many young people think once you have an argument, then you get out the gun. You get out your gun, you certainly have one, and you get out your gun because that's a manly way to settle an argument. I wish we'd go back to fist fights. Like, this is crazy. The superintendent said, the school superintendent said, we haven't been able to confirm any connection between the shooter or the second victim, who is a young man, in our graduation ceremony. Okay, give me a break. Like, are you telling me that some 20-year-old guy from Coon Rapids just happened to be at the outside of Mariucci? Just, oh, where am I going to go make some trouble tonight? I don't know, maybe near Mariucci. Give me a break. So that part of it is, look, we gotta do a better job of sharing information. And we, you know, the politicians did the, you know, the governor called it horrific, said the state stands to help in any way we can. It gets a little complicated because the police at the University of Minnesota are a university. They have their own police force. So Minneapolis police assist, the sheriffs assist, campus police race the arena. Witnesses say they heard at least two gunshots. So surveillance video showed this Saeed guy and a couple other men running from the arena entrance before Saeed raised the front of his black gown, reached to his waistband, and extended his hand toward the 19-year-old. So, like, that, this is one of your graduates. Like, oh, we don't, you know, we're still trying to figure it out. Come on. One of the graduates shows up to high school graduation packing heat. Like, can we just take a moment to think about that? I feel like after the violence this weekend in the city, people just sort of went to their usual, like, well, Minneapolis, what a hellhole. The crime is raging again. I wouldn't come to Minneapolis, blah, blah, blah. It's a 20-year-old guy from Coon Rapids who apparently was wearing a graduation gown for Wayzata High School. So we have a society problem here. This is not a Minneapolis problem. This is not a Coon Rapids problem or a Wayzata problem. It's a too many guns and too short fuses that nobody knows how to solve anything without getting the gun out. The problem with this is when you look at that reality and then you try to impose your usual hot take du jour on top of it, I don't know what the fix is to that. What is the fix to a culture that has someone thinking it was a good idea to have a gun? Doesn't make sense. But what's the fix? My first thought was, like, we don't have metal detectors on the way into a big graduation ceremony like that. Now, I've been, when Seth graduated from Maple Grove High School, it wasn't at Mariucci. I think it was at Maturi Pavilion because they were doing work on Mariucci. Sam will be at Mariucci. And maybe there are not metal. I don't know. When you go to a hockey game, do you have to go? I don't think. I'm not sure. I'm trying to think. Like, do you?
I know last time I was at Williams for high school tournaments, they absolutely had them
there.
They
had metal. Yeah.
So I got to assume that they have them at Mariucci. So that they're physically there.
They're
there. Now, are they used for graduations? I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sadly, we are in a time that that I think you should be using metal detectors going into a graduation. And imagine, like, they're trying to turn these graduations. They do multiple graduations in a day. So they're trying to turn them over. It's hard. But I don't know, man. Like, if this is society, I don't know what, you know, what is the fix? Oh, well, Mary Moriarty needs to be tougher on crime. Like, come on. That's not going to prevent this particular. Oh, it's a religious gown, someone is telling me. Not a graduation gown. That is certainly plausible. Yeah, it says wearing a, that is correct. So I got to roll that back real clearly. Thank you, the texter, for pointing that out. Because the criminal complaint says it was a traditional Somali garment, not the graduation ceremony clothing. So there you have, you know, was this guy at the graduation? Was he not? We don't really know. If he's running from the arena entrance, you presume he was at the graduation. You know, you don't have tickets for each individual person. So for the school to know exactly who is there, I don't, you know. But as a parent of a kid who's going to graduation, like next week, like I feel like I want more answers than what we've been hearing. And then you run into this horrible Boom Island Park. Man, so many problems we've had at Boom Island Park in Minneapolis. And this is a scenario where I think you can, and this is the shooting that there are a bunch of people shot. This is the second incident of a bunch of people shot at this park. And, you know, I understand that people are going to gather at a park. It's what we have parks for. Do young people flock to these parks to cause trouble? Yeah. 9:30 p.m. was when the police showed up to this park. It's right across the river, not too far from downtown Minneapolis. But one woman dead. She was in a vehicle. Five other guys shot. Another woman treated for other injuries during the mayhem, because there are just so many people. You know, what do you do? Do we close the parks down at night? Do you have to have a physical barricade to keep people out? Remember in 2023, the park board closed the Stone Arch Bridge because we're still in the throes of COVID and people were causing trouble there. I don't know. It is, I'm not at, like, on the freak out scale, I'm not at freak out yet, but I'm concerned. Especially when there are things that you, like the graduation related shooting, and say, like, what is the policy solution to fix it? I don't know. It's just too many guns. It's too many guns. We're going to break. When we come back, a tone shift, if you will. Tinder has added a height filter. I would like a woman to explain to me why you are so freaking obsessed with the height of the men in your life. I do not understand this phenomena. We'll talk about it. You can call if you would like to explain it to me. 651-461-9226. Drive time back in a minute. Short King Spring is over. It's over. Tinder, which is not a hookup app. No. Tinder has been quietly testing a height filter. Now, there's all sorts of, you know, there are all sorts of things you can say you want when you're looking for love, right? Now, you got to pay to use the height filter. But like, if you like you know, I think you can sort of order up different things that you want in a partner. To me, I'm just curious if women have always been obsessed with height, or is this like a recent sort of social media driven phenomenon? Because there are a lot of things that, like, guys can do to get more muscular or lose weight or try to have a more pleasant personality or get a different job. But there's not much you can do about your height. You are what you are. And in what circumstance, especially what I don't get, is why are the 5'2 women so convinced they need a 6 foot tall guy? Like, you're 5'2"? Like, you need, like, a big old man to protect you or tower over you or, like, reach the top shelf? Or what is happening?
Texter says, Jason, I'll explain women and height when you explain men and boob size.
Well, you see, what you see is, if you're a guy and you said, I'm sick of going on all these dates with these flat-chested women, you would get destroyed. But a woman can say, like, what's with these 5'10" guys claiming they're 6 feet? Men, we get the rip that we're the superficial people, and it's the women who are obsessed with height.
I mean, we are superficial, but it's both genders.
I am standing up for the short kings. I am here for you. You have value. Women, get it together. Height filter. Thank God I'm not single.